This is a production of Cornell University.
Meeting will come to order. Welcome everybody to the, I believe it's the sixth meeting of the GPSA for fall 2011, November 14th, 5:30 p.m., Malott Hallbach Auditorium. First we'll begin with the roll call of the voting members. Randa Adra, absent. Kyle Albert,
here.
Brian Alkemeyer,
here.
Steve Ahn,
here.
Nicole Baran,
here.
YJ Chen,
here.
John Chechulevsky,
here.
Evan Cortens, here. Andrew Elliott, Carl Furkenhoff,
here.
Marquise Hawkins,
here.
Yevgeny Israelit, James Keach,
here.
Allison Nash,
here.
Rebecca Robbins,
here.
Eric Smith,
here.
Mia Tuto, will be a little bit late. Michelle White?
Here.
Krista Wilson?
Here.
Wonderful. With that, we move to the first item on our agenda, the presentation on means restriction. Gentlemen.
Good evening. My name is Gilbert Delgado. I'm the university architect. This is my colleague, Andrew Magrin, assistant university architect, and Greg Ellis, who's with the Net Health Services. Last time I think that I was here and we talked about this project, we had talked about a pretty, a very inclusive design process that was broken up into like two main parts. One was an exploration as to what was possible. And then we came up with three different schemes for each of the bridges, if you remember. And for each of the bridges, always there was a net scheme. But then we also explored bar scheme and we explored a couple of other ideas. And then we actually selected from each one of those bridges one preferred scheme that we actually took to the planning board. Towards the end of that, we also found out that in Switzerland, they had installed five nets that were very remarkably similar to what we're doing here. And so we went over there to take a look at them. They had nets through pastoral pedestrian type bridges, through bridges that were, you know, very similar to our BB Lake bridge. They had nets over bridges that were like our Stewart Avenue bridges, that were pedestrian bridges, larger scale nets. And we also learned about how easy they were to maintain, how effective they were. That when they put them up, it cut the suicide incidence at that location down to zero. We came back and then also we were just in discussions with the planning board. The Thurston Avenue Bridge actually didn't have a vertical system. And the planning board urged us to take a look at a horizontal system. And once that happened, we reevaluated and said, you know what? It's part of being a horizontal system in terms of having no impact on the views, having a proven track record where other folks have actually used it. And we believe it is the right solution. So that those solutions that we brought forward for our seven bridges, we've opted to go with horizontal net below the bridge line. In every case is step one. The only exception was the suspension bridge. And there we felt that the scheme that we had, which we call the soft scheme, had so many interesting things going for it. It's opening up the view for the first time. It's being able to take out those heavy, cumbersome rails and bars that we felt that was the right way to go on that particular one. So, go back on.
Okay.
There we go. So, Switzerland, you know, we're a beautiful setting.
You know, one thing about them was is that, as you'll see from the images, if you look down the side of the main axis on the road, you do not see them. You have to basically go over and look down, and they're actually pretty far down, and the angle is such it's very difficult to see. There's concern about people throwing things and debris in the net. That hasn't been a problem in Switzerland.
There's been no effect on birds. The community has accepted them. And they actually shared with us their rescue techniques. And as you can see, I talked to you about, you know, beautiful bridges in beautiful settings. This is actually, an incredible place. Down below, you see the struts establishing that horizontal metric system. Next one. In a more urban setting, this is probably the one you see the most. This is at Munster Terrace. But you can see that the actual netting between the struts becomes very difficult to see. And this particular installation has been up there for 10 years. This is looking up, you see the struts, but you don't really see the nets, right? Next slide. And when we were there, we were impressed about how simple, how elegant, how rugged the installations were. So, we don't believe there'll be an ongoing maintenance problem over time. So, we walked away with, comfort, and in fact, other folks have done this and they've done it well, and it actually works extraordinary work by any kind of measure, aesthetic, technical, maintenance, and being able to rescue people. And this is, they were so generous with their time, the fire department actually showed us how they would actually rescue people, and they actually had instituted a training program for their folks, and we had discussions with folks here at Ithaca, with the Ithaca Fire Department, and shared with them how this happened. So this actually helped us allay a lot of the concerns about, well, how exactly will we rescue someone? What exactly happens when a sofa falls in there? This kind of starts to kind of erode those concerns because all of a sudden someone else has done it and the track record is established. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Andrew, who's going to show you on a bridge-by-bridge basis what is it that we're ending up with. And as you can see, I think the results are actually excellent.
Okay. What you see here is a map of Cornell campus. These are the 7 bridges that we're looking at putting the restriction on. 4 of the bridges are Cornell-owned bridges. The other 3 bridges are city-owned bridges. The city-owned bridges tend to be the trust bridges across the gorge, larger vehicular bridges. I'll start with Thurston Ave. This is an image showing the proposed net system. As Gilbert mentioned, there's no obstruction of the views as you approach the bridge or while you're on the bridge deck. You have to look down over the edge to see the nets. But also what we focused on too was kind of closing off access to some of the other dangerous areas along the abutments. And you can see that. You can see that along here and on the other side. So it's really focused on protecting those areas below the abutments, keeping views open at eye level, at deck level, bridge deck level. So here's a before image of the bridge, and here's an after image showing the struts extending out from the bridge. Here's an image of the Stuart Ave Bridge over Salt Creek. Here you can see again the nets extending out from the bridge, some protection down below at the abutments. Here's again the before view, and this is what the struts look like. If anybody has any questions, please take it down. This is the Stuart Ave Bridge over Fall Creek. This is a really spectacular bridge. It has great views to the west. This shows the net system, 15 feet down from the bridge rail. And both sides covered. Here's the before, and this is the after image. And you can see the struts right there. And of course, the view from the bridge is unobstructed. Okay, so now I'm going to show you the rail bridges. This is the suspension bridge, and spectacular views from this bridge. Here, as Gilbert mentioned, because it's a suspension bridge and it's pretty much almost at capacity. In this case, the structural capacity, in this case, we're removing the existing means restriction, which is a bar system, and putting on the tensile steel mesh. So you can see kind of a before and after photo of those right here. Okay, on the before and after. And then when you're on the bridge, these are the bars that will be removed, exposing the open truss down below. And this is what it would look like with the mesh surrounding it. Any questions? The DB Dam footbridge, we're back to a net horizontal net seam with struts extending out from the bottom of the bridge. There's an area over here where you'll notice now there's some fencing along the pathway. The idea here is to bring that fencing down lower. to the edge, closer to the edge of the gorge where the hydraulic slab was, and that way it really opens up a beautiful view to the west into the gorge. So instead of having the fence run on here, now our release restriction is down here along the top of the previous hydraulic slab. So here's a view of the bridge before, and this is the after view. And I'm sorry about these white lines that are crossing. It's something that happened with the PDF. Okay, so here's the trolley bridge in College Town. And you can see here, we're really, because of the profile of the gorge, and some of the other gorges, you know, it's a very steep drop-off. This one has a very shallow drop-off, so we're really just looking at protecting the more dangerous areas. So it's just two panels in the center. And here's a before, and here's an after view of the stresses. Here's a before, you can see the fences that are there now, and this is what it would look like without them. And then finally, the Stone Arch Bridge in College Town, kind of an iconic bridge. Here, you know, because of the stone bridge, you know, we didn't have the ability to extend struts out from the structure, so we used this kind of fly net approach where we have attachment points on each side of the gorge, and then we run a cable across and then back into the face of the stone bridge before the arch. We still need to maintain the 15 feet from the edge of the rail. And then, you know, we have that on both sides. And here's a before view, and here's an after view. And that's
it. So we have about 4 minutes for questions, if there are any questions. Allison?
I'm curious if any of the bridges you saw in Switzerland were pedestrian and car traffic?
Yes, we did see several.
And then we did the same type of message on them.
Yeah, it was the one that was pedestrian in particular was concrete structure, and I don't have any photos here with me, but they were able to pass the struts right to the bottom of the concrete structure and extend out, and of course supporting cables to support it.
Ed?
A number of the mock-ups that you show considerable fencing on the gorge walls and along the sides of the gorges. It makes sense for me to switch in over the center of the gorge, but are there been any instances of suicide attempts at Cornell or somebody jumping from the side of the gorge? Is that really any restriction?
I think Greg can speak to that, but I'd like to just mention that what you're seeing here, like the current things, all the fence you're seeing is already existing Cornell plantation safety fence. So what we're talking about is just dealing right at the bridges themselves, but maybe Greg, you can answer that.
Yeah, there have been completed suicides from the edges of the gorges over the years, probably less risk. There's actually been more deaths from alcohol-related fallings on the gorge edges. So like Andrew said, that's really there for safety and ongoing wear around the gorge edges. And some of the things have been done in a few years ago.
When we first got started on the net systems, we had looked at the net being made of the same stuff as the fences. But the region was very confusing. We already had this black chicken fencing in the gorge. We should have that as a language. Remember the land contours and all that. That reads as a certain system. The stainless steel mesh should be reserved for the man-made bridge that's symmetrical and it's controllable. So we can keep those two languages somewhat.
Yevgeny?
Actually, I was wondering about your comment of a study in Switzerland where the incidence of suicides was decreased at that bridge. Did they consider whether it was just displaced, whether there was a current in other locations?
I can speak to that. I mean, that's a whole area of research when Annette Matrea was here a couple of years ago. And her specialty is looking at that issue. And there's always an issue of displacement. And with means restrictions, you're really targeting the most impulsive suicide at that specific location. If somebody is really intent on killing themselves or hanging or firearms, this is not going to impact that. But the piece you're really looking for is trying to prevent those more impulsive suicides in a very highly lethal way. And that's what they're always measuring in all of these
studies. Can we take a quick follow-up? And would there be any other visual signs as a resource for a helpline or anything else associated with
it? There will be. Proximal each of these bridges is typically a blue light cone. There'll be signs on the bridge directing people to the blue light cone and also to crisis line.
But, I mean, if you look at like the American Foundation Suicide Prevention or even Suicide Hotline networks, they still say means restriction is the most effective way preventing suicide. So the people who work on it, the research.
So we have about 2 more minutes, time for 2 more quick questions. Chris, and then I can't see your name, but next to Sean. Okay, Chris.
Are some of these going to be painted, like green or black? Some of these bridges are already green. I know that black is sort of, you know, you can see through it. That's why we have black fences right now. So are all of these going to be green or something?
They're going to vary. Where we have the green truss bridges, the struts are going to be green, the mesh bridge, and then the mesh will be black. It'll fade away like a black window screen.
But let me say that they're black in the submission of the gate of the city. So we want to maybe open the discussion at some point that maybe stainless steel might be the new option. Because if, we believe it has a different type of transparency, and moreover, it, the long-term maintenance of this probably a lot better.
Aaron?
Is that
concerned
for people jumping
into
the limit?
Sorry?
That's where the distance from the edge of the rail, I mean, it's a 15-foot drop. It's not, you know, you could possibly hurt yourself in that. It's not, you know, I don't know, right?
So that's a push. Yeah. It would be painful. I think that's a risk. I mean, these are areas where people drink and do things that are more
Well, it's interesting. One of the things you did learn at Switzerland was there was one bridge, one net that was didn't work out as they planned. And it was an old, maybe medieval bridge, maybe wooden covered bridge. And, you know, wooden covered bridge. And the net was maybe 5 feet below. You know? So people, because I just started to believe we'd get the motorcycle in my arm.
Actually, it was flush on the ground plan.
So people say, well, it's, you know, it's not very compared if it does with Switzerland because they're so, like, you know, uptight and they don't throw soap into their net. Well, this guy's quite a motorcycle on the net. but what we learned was it's too close to the camping attractive music. If you drop it down to 15 feet, then, it, you know, most people recognize that if I can jump in there, it's not going to feel good. So I'll save my life.
So we have, I can take 1 more minute for 2 very quick 30-second questions. I saw Will and then Joanna, and then I'm afraid.
How many people, how many times do they add just kind of lifting mats? Is it material, has it been attempts still, or has it been up in terms of...
There have been no instance of a person who's been in that has been in place. And it's been in place. Some of the nets have been in place in 99.
So the only thing that rescued people was a dog. And that was because it was the Munster Terrier, and his owner was really animated, and then he went like this, and his dog followed the point of view.
Joanna?
Dog's okay.
Last question.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think Greg is absolutely right. We're trying to give the person who has a bad impulse a second shot at it. You know, and maybe they, you know, not to say that if you were so hard set on it, you could still overcome the net. The net is to protect, and Greg can jump in. But in terms of people that have survived San Francisco Bridge, you know, when interviewed, they said, then I'll let go. I knew that they didn't stay.
The idea is to prevent the impulsive. I want to die just to tell me the message. And that's not the question.
And
that's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, that referring to certain kind of similar read restriction that the people are
And from this, empirically, from what we learned in Switzerland, places that they identify the places in the same net, we're maybe 2 to 3 per year.
I'm very sorry to cut off the discussion. I know there are more questions, but I'm sure that you guys would be happy to answer questions if we sent them in writing.
Sure.
So if you have other questions, please email me and I'll pass them on. Let's thank Greg, Andrew, and Gilbert.
It might already be online. Excuse me, is the presentation available online?
Actually, it's the meeting restriction. If you just Google meeting restriction on Cornell, or go to the Cornell website.
Yeah.
We have a website that has shows all of these presentations and provides all of these sources to the end.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
The great community website with all the information.
Yeah, there's a link to the meeting restriction. Actually, it's the meeting restriction study. We'll get you to our section of the website.
So now we move into the regular business of the day. The first item of business is the approval of the minutes. I had a couple very small things. Well, I had one thing that was actually worth mentioning out loud, and the rest of it is very small. Mia, on page 3, it says only 13,000. I think you said 30,000. It says M. Tutil said there would be a Finance Commission meeting on Tuesday, November 1st. There are many applications for funding and only 13,000 remaining to be allocated. 30. Okay. I assume there's no objection to fixing that number. Wonderful. Are there any other corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, is there any objection to the approval? Sorry? James?
I was wondering with the 513,000.
Yes. That,
zero?
It should be 13,000. That was my other small correction. My other small correction, by the way, is to list the names of the people who went to the Ivy Summit. Again, I assume there's no objection to clarifying that stuff. Yes, it should either be 13,006 or just 13,000. So, it'll be 13,000. Any other corrections? Seeing none, any objection to the approval of the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes are hereby approved. We move now into reports of officers and committee updates. First is a report from your executive. We'll keep this very quick. Four of us went to the Ivy Summit, myself, Nicole, Rebecca, and Nighthawk, who couldn't join us tonight, unfortunately. So we'll each talk very briefly on our points of return. My slide, as you can see, is very short. A topic that came up over and over and over again was, call it what you will, data-driven advocacy. Of course, MIT, as those of you who've been involved with this for a while know, is famous for the fact that they conduct two enormous surveys a year, one in the fall and one in the spring, and they've had a very successful model for using that data to then lobby the administration to change various things to improve graduate student life. Other schools are moving in that direction, and of course I was pleased to report that we had our own survey past spring that we were very proud of. So I think that is a great way that we can all learn from each other. Developing a survey is time-consuming and difficult. The more that we can find out what other sorts of questions people are asking, what methodological things they're finding out, that's great. That's also a benefit of NAGPS membership. They have a survey bank. The other thing is again, something that came up over and over again in different contexts, the idea of retention and turnover. Of course, one of the built-in issues with student government is that we have a very high turnover rate. I mean, even if you got involved with graduate student government your first year here and stayed involved your entire time, that's still, what, 4, 5, 6 years, something like that, whereas administrators might serve here for 20 or 30 years. So we need to work hard to make sure that the knowledge continues from year to year. Ivy Summit discussed a number of techniques for that. Likewise, to preserve the things that come out of the Ivy Summit from year to year. That's all I have.
Okay. So I really kind of came back with much more of a fire in my belly than I had previously about some issues. And none of these are things that I'm definitely working on for sure, but there are things that I think came up pretty frequently, and they may be of interest to you guys, so if these are things you're interested in working on, kind of let me know. But one was working with graduate student alumni relations. I think actually this is something that Cornell does not do at all relative to other peer institutions, and sort of using that network of previous Cornell graduate students can be really helpful for issues of professional development, allowing students to network at different alumni events. We can improve our data on where graduate students go in order to better provide resources to them, as well as possibly having graduate student alums being an untapped source of donations to the university. These are all things to consider, but right now, basically Cornell does very little in this regard. I've also been thinking a lot recently about improving advisor-student relationships. Several ideas that have already come up have been graduate student teaching awards, but other things that other schools mentioned, including best practices letters that go to new faculty, and also providing safe forums for graduate students to voice concerns when they're having issues with their advisor. There were also a lot of discussions about grad community space, which I found pretty motivating. This has come up multiple times in this body as well. And also improving support for graduate students of diverse backgrounds. We had a pretty lengthy discussion about women in graduate school that I thought was pretty interesting. It's put on by some of the women at MIT. And specifically talking about the challenges faced and just in general for groups that are sort of historically underrepresented in graduate school, what kind of support needs might they have, different from other populations. So those were sort of things that I was thinking about.
Finally, Rebecca.
She
made a slide, and then I had to make a slide. Time for maybe one quick question, or of course we're happy to talk after. Seeing no questions, the next item for the executive update is we had a discussion, of course, in our continuing trend of making the field representatives feel as included and involved as possible, because we think that has only upside. Nicole is going to give a short presentation.
Really brief. Again, we just want to make sure that field representatives understand how they can participate in the conversation, especially going into this activity fee discussion. So this is actually a snippet from the charter, and this actually is for all graduate professional students, have the right basically to speak at meetings, to bring resolutions to the GPSA, and obviously as field representatives, you also have that right. I just want to emphasize that it is not just voting members that have the right to speak at meetings or bring resolutions up. Just to sort of summarize, basically, you have the right to speak according to all the sort of rules of the debate and discussion that we have going on. I know that sometimes Robert's rules can be a little bit intimidating, but it's really not that big a deal. We sort of discussed this, but you have the right to make or second motions in this discussion. And that also means that you can make a motion to propose an amendment to a resolution. That's one thing that field representatives have the ability to do, as well as voting members, of course. And again, you also elect and empower the GPSA voting members. So even though you do not, quote, vote when we ask you to raise the green placard, you vote for your representative. I just wanted to make it kind of clear during this discussion how you can participate. So.
On Robert's rules, there's always a point of information. If something is happening and it's confusing, I mean, that's the exact opposite point of Robert's rules. So just ask.
That's it. Point of information. I am confused. Explain.
Moving on, unless there are any questions. Appropriations.
Hello. The Appropriations Committee has been out of session since last week. We have not met because we've done a lot of work. But I have one little comment. I'm thinking about making the slogan for the committee, your Appropriations Committee, battling my turnover since 2011. That's all.
I like it.
We have a lot of batteries on our committee, you know, so 2011, that's a good start. That's it.
We'll of course spend the bulk of this meeting talking about appropriation stuff. So, communications, Steve.
Yeah, thanks. Not too much news today, but next issue of PPSA Buzz is coming out excited. So, if you have stuff you want to put in, just try to wait to be by Wednesday night, SSA 38 at 111.
Finance, Mia.
Just to repeat. You should have received your reminder email today. Letting you know that Friday, December 2nd at 4 p.m. is the deadline for funding applications that the SC will review in December. And given that we really don't have much money left, that will be our final meeting of the year for distributing money for the rest of the 2011 and 2012 year until we meet next April for the annual budget for 2012 and 2013. So, getting applications by then, please.
Thank you. Student Advocacy, Rebecca, you have some slides.
I'm on the University Council for Young also, which is a body of administrators chaired by students that meet twice a semester. And we have covered, we've had a few meetings, and the first topic was the student mental health community. So this is a mental health framework, it's a wheel, quote unquote. And it's Cornell's approach to creating more focus around mental health and all the various initiatives. There's something particularly interest is to focus on counseling among the Gannett Mental Promotion people. So they want counseling to kind of be the first line of defense as opposed to medicine or medication. They've extended the hours within that from 5 to 7 for extended in the evening. They're encouraging walkovers, and I think that was a very compelling point for our subscribers who might be TA to identify cases and take an active role in holding the hand and walking the world again. Improving ease of scheduling, quote unquote, using my net. Not sure if that's easier or not, but community-based counselors. This is interesting. They're placing counselors around campus, not necessarily to get access to that, because it's going away from the stigma of going to get for help. So these individuals are encouraged, or kind of the point person, to reach out to on campus. So that was the first topic. The second is the university's focus on alcohol or reducing alcohol and other drug use. So this is a graph of alcohol consumption. I guess it's shown the reductions that achieved. It's something in the ballpark of 10%. We're shooting for 25.
The bars on the left, the maroon ones are all, the orange ones are Greek, and the blue ones are, I guess, non-Greek, and the numbers are, the years are 2009 and 2011. The bars are shorter on the right.
These are Greek drinkers who have declined slightly. These are non, or no, all, and the Christian. And then these are not, interestingly, the non-Greek is actually, okay. And so there is this goal of 25% reduction and reducing risky behaviors through, you guys might have read about this in Science, like how you give washers, they're hiring undergrads to go to parties and kind of be a social norm that is going to say, are you okay? You look after peers, et cetera. And the notion of respond is just this notion around building a sense of community. And proactive, looking for your fears, noticing, responding, that kind of thing. So next slide. Last. This is what I got when I Googled graduate students.
Awesome.
One of the main questions around these two topics was what is the current state with respect to graduate students? We really don't know. So we need a survey or more word of mouth about how what we're all doing. Oh, there is actually one more slide. Okay, health leaves of absence is the last topic. Just kind of to explain, it's one of three ways to take leave from university and then return, kind of in, or have the opportunity to return after doing so. You're fully refunded if you do so, it'll make you have the reimbursement insurance. And if you're returning, Cornell Minds Matter just started a new initiative called Reorientation, where they advise people who are returning to health leave of absence. To welcome them back to Port Allen and kind of put them together with other students who've taken leave. And then we also have another position that's open on the campus. So if you're interested in these things, shoot Marquise a note or sign up on the Assembly website.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rebecca. Programming Board, YJ.
Email yesterday, she was sending volunteers to the little spreadsheet. So if you've seen that and you have half an hour to spare, please volunteer with your time. Thank you. And then December was getting up. Title on Friday is December 4th. And so you can find out more details through Facebook. The other thing is I want to congratulate Michelle and Carl on a very
great. Thanks, YJ. With that, we conclude the update section of our agenda and move into new business. So here begins today's meeting, the formal business portion of setting the activity fee. You were all sent out a timeline document about how this process works. But to recap it for you, what we'll do today is conduct a series of 12 votes, yes or no votes, simple majority. And that's a simple majority of members, not just those present and voting, about whether or not, crucial, tricky language here, about whether or not to include the recommendation as it stands in the resolution. So that's important. This isn't whether or not this is the final, absolute, non-negotiable amount that this group will get, but whether or not it will be incorporated as it stands into the resolution. So there are, of course, two options. You can vote yes. If we achieve a majority on that yes vote, done. It goes into the resolution, and we'll take it up again as part of business next week. If you vote no, what happens is that the chair asks again, do you want to eliminate funding for this organization entirely? It takes two-thirds of all members to do that, two-thirds voting in the affirmative. But, of course, you don't need to do that. If you were to, say, be unhappy with the Appropriations Committee's recommendation, what you would do is you would vote no, and then you would simply vote no again. No, I do not want to strip their funding. That means that the recommendation is sent back to the Appropriations Committee for reconsideration. They then would re-present it at next meeting and we'll do again a simple yes-no vote. If it gets no the second time, the organization's funding is removed. I don't know that that's ever happened, certainly not in recent memory, but that I'm just laying out for you the way that procedures work. So we'll be in formal debate during this process. because we have to finish this today to allow time to make sure we get everything done. Speeches will be limited for 30 seconds. I'll signal you. Again, you can't speak until everybody else has spoken, except for unanimous consent and so on. We've had practice doing all of this, which is great. We have to conclude votes on all 12 organizations. This is to make sure that should we have a no vote, appropriations has time to reconsider. And, of course, we have an extra meeting next week where we'll take up the resolution. The resolution, by the way, is debatable and amendable just like any other resolution. So even if it's a yes vote today, that number is amendable as part of the resolution. And hopefully we'll get that finished next week. If not, we've got the 28th, but about half an hour of that meeting will be taken up by a presentation from President Scorton and Susan Murphy. So hopefully we'll get that done next week. So this... It's a little hard to see. This is a very quick preliminary report from the survey committee. The relevant portion is the stuff on the right. This is a little hard to see. It's a little preliminary, but you'll get final stuff right away. Basically, it's a question of whether or not the modeling indicates that there is an effect on happiness, cohesion, and social mixing. Ah. So you can see according to the data what effect that has. The column on the right is simply how many out of three it increases. So you can see that the events committee, two out of three, several other groups, orientation, Big Red Barn, athletics, concert commission, and international programming board are one out of three, and the others are zero out of three. Of course, that doesn't, caveats about statistics, significance, and so on and so forth. There will be a 70-page report that comes along with this that you'll have very soon. I know. Wow. So that concludes all I have to say. Effectively, what we're doing here is debating a series of 12 motions for the pedants in the room. The motion is basically resolved that the Appropriations Committee recommendation be incorporated into the activity fee resolution. And we'll just do that 12 times for each group. With that, we'll proceed in alphabetical order. The first group is athletics. Would you like me to recognize someone from appropriations to speak on it?
And then we'll recognize those people at that time.
Sure.
Okay, so thanks for listening. We're going to be going to the group members that were in charge of meeting the discussion on that group. You've heard from them before. We're giving them a very brief overview of what's happening, why we gave a recommendation, then you guys can debate, and we'll chime in. So, Mike, please, on slide.
So athletics, this was, I think, a very simple one for the appropriations committee. They're not requesting anything. They're not requesting any increase. They basically provide free access to all Cornell University athletic events with the exception of men's ice hockey, which you need to purchase season tickets for. This contribution also allows for a subsidy for the men's ice hockey ticket. We found that it was, certainly well used by the graduate professional student population, and merits keeping at $70. The one thing I will add that I don't think came up, and I'm not sure if the athletics presentation mentioned it, but something that really needs to be highlighted more is the fact that athletics, these benefits are actually open to graduate professional students as well as their families. I think the only other group up here that's explicit about that is the Big Red Barn. I think that's a very important thing to take into mind. I don't think athletes have like family football days and there are other things going on. But I think this is one area that needs to be able to advertise more. So get the word out.
With that, we're now in formal debate. The motion is not amendable, which means that you can either speak on it or there is a motion to call the previous question. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on the athletics recommendation?
I'd like to call the question.
The question has been called. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Marquise, called by Chris Heckman. Is there any opposition Seeing none, we'll move now to a vote on the athletics recommendation. The question then is, resolved that the recommendation of $7 be incorporated into the activity fee resolution. Those in favor, please raise your green placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed? 0. With a vote of 17 to 0, the ayes have it, and the motion is adopted. Next on the docket, the Big Red Barn.
Big Red Barn is requesting an increase of $1 that mainly goes to offset the cost that for the revenue they're losing from the graduate school, and they're pretty tight budget, so if they don't get their $1 increase, they're probably going to have to have substantial cuts in programming and staff. And as I already indicated, it's the highest use of the involuntary services graduate taken.
Thanks, Will. We're now in formal debate. Is there anyone who wishes to speak? Or the chair would entertain a motion to call the previous question.
So moved.
Marquise has called the previous question. Is there a second? Seconded by Allison. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the question is on the adoption of the recommendation. Big Red Barn, $8 to go into the resolution. Those in favor, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed? 0. With a vote of 17 to 0, the ayes have it, and the motion is adopted. Thirdly, wishful thinking, sorry. Thirdly, we move to Cornell Cinema.
This was one more challenging group to look at for us. They had requested an increase of about 45 cents per student. The current level is 1105, and the committee chose to keep them at 1105. We basically, they were asking for an increase to offset some New York State's grant losses that have been cut back over the course of the financial crisis. The committee felt that the Cornell Cinema has going to be a significant portion of the activity fee, and over that period of time, there's been a little growth in the, there's been actually pretty much no growth in the cost of ticket prices, and we felt that the ticket price, an increase in ticket prices was probably going to be more appropriate at this point than
Thank you. So the motion is on the floor. Is there anyone who wishes to speak? Also, I note the presence of some folks from Cornell Cinema in the back. If you had questions, I'm sure they would be happy to answer. Is there anybody who wishes to speak in formal debate, or else the chair would entertain a motion to call the previous question?
I move to call the previous question.
Carl moves the previous question. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Evgeny. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the question is on the adoption of the recommendation, $11.05 to go into the activity fee recommendation. Those in favor, raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Those opposed? 1. With a vote of 16 to 1, the ayes have it. The motion is carried. Next, we move on to Cornell Concert Commission.
This is Cornell Concert Commission. Currently, sees $5.75 per student per year. They don't ask for an increase, and they get 13% usage by the graduate students, and Cornell Concert will have the attendance of Phoenix and upcoming Louisville concert.
We're now in formal debate on the Cornell Concert Commission recommendation of $5.75. Is there anyone who wishes to speak? or the chair would entertain a motion to call the previous question. Marquise has called the previous question. Is there a second? Seconded by James. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the question is on the adoption of the Cornell Concert Commission recommendation of $5.75 to go into the recommendation resolution. Those in favor, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed? 0. With a vote of 17 to 0, the motion is adopted. We move now to Cornell EMS.
Cornell EMS, currently funded at $1.77. They requested a 3-cent increase per student to $1.80 to offset ever-increasing insurance premiums, fuel costs, and repairs to their vehicle.
Thanks, Will. We're now in formal debate. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on the motion? Or else the chair would entertain a motion to call the previous question. Moved by Evgeny, seconded by Allison. Is there any objection to taking a vote? Seeing none, the question is on the adoption of the recommendation, $1.80 to go into the resolution. Those in favor, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed? 0. With a vote of 17 to 0, the ayes have it and the motion is carried. We move now to the Cornell University Programming Board, the CUPB.
So the CUPB, if you remember,
Ed.
The group that brings the world to Cornell to sponsor lectures and events on campus. They're not asking for an increase. They haven't asked for a funding increase in the past several years. This has been very moved by the committee, and as our survey has shown, they're definitely well used by the graduate community. Because of the various events that
feel
broad,
which
is the
graduate. Thanks, Ed. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in formal debate? It's going to be the shortest GPSA meeting ever. You know the drill. The chair would entertain a motion to call a previous question. Question has been called by Chris. Is there a second? Seconded by Eric. Is there any opposition to taking a vote? Seeing none, the question is on the adoption of the recommendation, Cornell University Programming Board, $3.55 to go into the resolution. Those in favor, please raise your green placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed? 0. With a vote of 17 to 0, the ayes have it and the motion is adopted. Next we move to the GPS, I'm not familiar with this group. Can somebody fill us in?
Graduate Professional Student Assembly is this organization. It's run by graduate students for graduate students. It's an advocacy arm as well as an arm that is well-balanced for social interactions with operators. And that is why there's a studio decrease at the moment. The full request is set at 50-50, and that request is set that way if the GPS Programming Board does not become its own high-level public organization, which we treated it as a movie. So we are recommending to set the GPS allocation at 184 to ensure that the operation is
continued. Excellent. The GPSA also sets the activity fee. That's another thing we do. We're now in formal debate, though I know I'm trying to be informal up here. Failing, maybe. Carl has moved the previous question. Is there a second? Seconded by Allison. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the question is on the adoption of the recommendation $1.84 for the GPSA to go into the resolution. Those in favor, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed? 0. With a vote of 17 to 0, the ayes have it and the motion is adopted. We move now to the GPS-PB.
The Graduate Program and Professional Student Program
Kristen.
Is a new application for a live funding this year. It was previously the Executive Committee, not the Executive, the Event Committee of the Graduate Professional Student Assembly. Currently, they've asked for a full request of $2.50. We are recommending to fund them at $2. This has both micro and macro considerations associated with this. On the micro scale, this becomes a new organization. We don't know what the success will be over the next 2 years. Our committee is fully confident that it's going to be probably one of the most beneficial and probably fun organizations on the list. At $2.50, it's just puts a little bit too much risk associated with the entire budget at the moment. But also for macro considerations, increasing the entire amount of the activity fees are directly to the GPSA associated committee or organization with the GPS program board at the level at $434 would be able to a little bit too much risk, so we recommend that.
Thank you, Kristen. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in formal debate? Or else the chair would also entertain a motion to call the previous question. Previous question called by Eric. Is there a second? Seconded by Crystal. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. With those in favor of incorporating the GPS-PB recommendation of $2 into the activity fee resolution, please raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed? 0. With a vote of 17 to 0, the ayes have it and the motion is adopted. Now we move to the International Student Board. Crystal. Thank you, Crystal. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in formal debate? Unless the chair would entertain a motion, call the previous question. Previous question has been called by James. Is there a second? Seconded by Michelle. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote on the question. The question is to recommend $1.55 for the International Student Board to go into the resolution. For those in favor, raise your placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed? 0. Look at that, with my eyes closed. With a vote of 17 to 0, the ayes have it, and the motion is adopted. We move now to our graduate student orientation.
So, graduate student orientation, as you know, we fund our own orientation. It is for both graduate and professional students. The current funding is at 70 cents, and you're asking for $1. Included in this increase is remuneration for campus tour guides, as well as food at orientation events. So, it is not technically mandatory, but in order to see graduate and professional student orientation grow and become a more professional, a more professional event, we feel that this is simply a good idea. And also, the GPSA typically has good relations with Brenda Wicks' office. She also works in conjunction with our former events committee to
co-sponsored events of ours that are around the time of August in January, things like ice skating and bowling. So it's not only for new students, it's also something that continues enriching our lives.
Thank you, Chris. Is there anybody who wishes to speak in formal debate? Or else the chair would entertain. Previous question called by Carl. Is there a second? Seconded by Michelle. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, we move now to a vote on the recommendation, which is $1 for graduate and professional student orientation. Would those in favor please raise your placards? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed, zero. I presume that's zero. I know that's the quick pace. With a vote of 17 to zero, the ayes have it and the motion is adopted. We move now to risk management.
Okay, Chris. So risk management is a business unit on campus that provides club insurance. Club insurance is basically a service that allows clubs on campus that are registered with the student activities office to have protection from insurance on a number of matters, from protecting club officers from lawsuits from their members or other people that are outside the group, to allowing more liberal use of the Cornell name and logo. As a result of this, the increase is pretty steep from 510 to 550. At the same time, insurance premiums are growing faster than inflation, so this seems to be this is not a group that's asking for us for more money so that they can fund their operations. This goes directly into a student's insurance plan that many student groups take with them. So we feel that this is something that we need continued funding.
Thank you, Chris. Is there anybody who wishes to speak in formal debate? Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion to call the previous question. Moved by Allison. Is there a second? Seconded by Eric. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, we'll move now to a vote on the recommendation for risk management, which funds club insurance, of $5.50 to go into the resolution. Those in favor, please raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Those opposed, zero. For the vote of 17 to zero, the ayes have it and the motion is adopted. Before we move to our last group, I'll say quickly that the GPSAFC doesn't count as a group that needs to be separately voted on under these circumstances. We're statutorily required to give at minimum 35%. Appropriations Committee is recommending 35.1%. The reason for the slight increase is that, of course, we can only have a whole dollar amount. So the Appropriations Committee could not recommend whatever it would be, $80.92, which, to keep them at exactly 35, we would have to round it up anyway. So that's the reason why we're not conducting a vote on the FC. So we move now to Slope Day. Ed.
So Slope Day was definitely one of the more lively conversations that we had, and gave a robust discussion about the last meeting as well. Slope Day is a new organization to be Spyline budget recently. 2 years ago, this is the first time that Spyline funded. They were previously at $307, they were less than $6 per student per year. Our recommendation is $350. We think that we see that they're expenses are increasing, of course, the artist expenses are kind of rising, camp standards that we mentioned. So we felt that the $350 reflects both these increasing expenses as well as the value that we're seeing in Slope Day and continuing the relationship with Slope Day. We really feel that building a progressive relationship with Slope Day is something that was a priority for the committee, and so that's where we landed on the $350 after considering these in our own survey data that we saw.
Thanks, Ed. So we're now in formal debate. I see that there are some folks from Slope Day present here. You can speak as well in debate. I will maintain a speakers list. Allison, then Kyle.
I just wanted to reiterate that Slope Day, yes, it's an important tradition, but I think it's important to stress that it's not entirely an inclusive day for all graduate students. So I think the amount
can be looked at. So,
thank you.
Do that.
Point of information.
Yes.
Chris? Is that a speech for or against the recommendation?
Again?
Against the recommendation, so you would not want to fund them at $3.50.
Can we just get a little bit more information? You want less money or?
Oh, slightly less money.
Thank you, Allison. Next on my list, I have Kyle.
Yeah, I'd like to encourage everyone to vote against accepting this recommendation. With the feedback I've heard from my colleagues in the social science PhD program, it's been very negative about SOAP Day. People have been suggesting that we should actually consider completely defunding them entirely. They do have the infrastructure to sell tickets. John Durrell, I think he was the one of the leaders of the SOAP Day programming board.
He's right there.
He mentioned that it's time for us to make a choice about whether or not we should, whether we want to be paying for tickets or funding through the pipeline process. I think we can make that choice.
Thank you, Kyle. Next time I left, Jen, right? Elizabeth, sorry.
Sorry, I don't want to move. But just to piggyback on that, when I listed my department for feedback, for every other point, everybody was like, yeah, the Big Red Barn, yeah, EMS, something like that. But they were pretty adamant not fun float day. I got pretty intense reactions, I should say, about against float day and funding it.
What department?
Communications.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Next, I saw both John and Noel raise their hands.
Point of procedure.
Chris?
I do believe that in order for this informal debate, we need to hear formal for and against in sequence. Is that not true?
The chair, in as much as the chair knows whether people are in favor or against it, is supposed to try and balance the discussion, but I don't know what your opinions are. Oh. Certainly. Or the next on my list is the Slope Day Executive Board themselves. If you want to give them a chance to respond, or John.
So one work for GCSA, and we recognize a large number of graduate and professional students that attend the event and value the prize to us. The number of graduates who were previously undergraduates, I think, is a number to consider as ones who would come to Slope Day also take into account freshman students. We do understand that there are a lot of those grad students who cannot attend the Slope Day for work purposes, but you've heard our priority argument in the past. While we understand financial constraints for GPSAF, we need to see more commitment to make this work. It really doesn't make financial sense for us to continue with a $3.50 recommendation. We're confident that at $3.50 that we could sell enough tickets to kind of offset those costs facing undergraduate students. We've spoken with administrators in the student's office, and we do have the ability to take a graduate professional student. That said, we are hesitant to go down this road. We would like to work with the GPSA, try to further your body and investment in our organization, and we employ you to consider the debate and implications of the decision.
Thank you. Mike, did you want to speak?
So this has been a long evolving process for the GPSA itself as well. I've been deeply involved in trying to make sure that this relationship continues since I think 2005, I mean, it's been far too long. and in fact, I'm still involved with this in this one, so I'm in discussions bogged my mind. But we recognize early on that it was really important for the graduate freshman student community to be involved and engaged in the vital point of community and tradition. And Slope Day has been a tradition, taken on many different forms. They have the Mockpole Fighting way back in the day. It used to be more family-friendly events. It's changed a lot over the years, and will change again. It's an event that's been, again, in the process of being changed. It's moving to more recent history. It did have before being this, Bacchanalian festival. But the Slope Day Programming Board, from the undergraduate leadership, has done an amazing job to really try to bring in this event and bring it under control, make it something that would be, open and accessible to the entire, Cornell community. Having said that, I am still concerned, I still share some of your concerns that this, event still does not meet the Cornell community. think that's very apparent right now. It's primarily this big concert that they spend a lot of money on to bring a big name band. I think it can be more. I think with graduate special student engagement in this, it can become something that is a lot better than it is right now. I think the current price that the committee's recommendation reflects both our desire to remain engaged and involved in this process, but as well as our concern that this event is not yet fully an event that's representative of the entire Cornell community.
Very quickly, a point of parliamentary procedure. Before I said 30 seconds per speaker, since we spent almost no time on the other ones, I'm happy to increase that to 60 seconds as a starting point.
Sorry if I was a little bit.
No, I think you were at about 2 minutes, but that's okay. Water under the bridge, Mike. So I should remind you that if somebody raises something and you want to question what they've said, you want to rebut some point that they've made, you could call out something to the effect of point of information, and they can yield their time to you. If they don't yield, which is their choice, you can simply go on the speaker's list. And I will try my best to try and work for and against. So, I don't know, if when you raise your hand, you can make a sort of happy face or maybe a frowny face. And then, yeah, and then I'll try and alternate as best I can. So, that being said, next on my list is Creston.
All right. So, just to confirm, I have some words about justification and how we were thinking about the $3.50, because we were very well aware of the significant portion of graduate students who wish to be fully refunded at no dollar amount whatsoever in FTDC, as well as students who really utilize the event and go for the entire thing. And I think the actual survey that we sent out responds and reflects this, and where half of the students who attended full day actually stayed for less than an hour, and then half who attended all the stayed for greater than an hour. And so the reason why we landed around $3.50 is because of it showing the building community, as well as we felt that $6 was too high of an amount to actually contribute to the civil organization. Due to the fact that the $6 was removed and they charged graduate students as their greatest alumni, there's a good chance that half the people are attending the maximum. And so then as a bylaw from the organization, they potentially open themselves up to risk of losing area of funding.
That was exactly 60 seconds. That's impressive. Chris Heckman?
So I see that this debate is going on both sides. We have folks that are saying we shouldn't fund them. We hear from Slow K Programming Board that says they want more money than what this recommendation has in it. I think that it's important to keep an even keel when we're discussing these issues. I think that this conversation has been somewhat poisoned by the fact that the number that was initially asked for was not one that the GPSA looked favorably upon. And now, when the discussions are being brought up later, it seems as that, well, we need to counter with some similarly hard-ass opinion. That's not what this body has ever done in the past. And I don't think that's a route that we should go down in the future. I think that we should continue trying to work with the groups that are trying to work with us until we really feel that we are at a place where the differences are just so great that we can't overcome them. And that's not to say that there aren't people out there that really don't believe we should go to Slope Day. I recognize that, absolutely. And that they find this event is not for them. But at the same time, I think that if we just cut them entirely, we're getting up on the Cornell tradition in some sense, and one that we hopefully can speak to in the future. So that's why we made a recommendation, and I feel like that is at least a good place to start.
Nicole, did you have a question for Chris?
I just had a general point of information, but given all of the affirmative votes on the other groups, if we were to say vote no on this, what are the options other than, would it be that the amended resolution would include a raised equity fee, or?
You're asking me as chairman of the committee?
I suppose.
Yeah, I think that we would probably have a long sit down about where we're going to take this conversation next. Mm-hmm. In essence, we might go up or down, depending on what this body sends back to us with this debate that is still unfolding. Right now, I don't feel like we have a good enough idea of what this body wants, whether they want less money, and they're willing to basically see a very significant chance of us losing free admission or something, not being able to.
Just to clarify, so any no vote would, I guess, any change in slope day's funding according to this would either raise or lower the total activity fee dollar amount.
That's not necessarily true. We
for the resolution.
You could say something here and give us instruction, give the instruction on what you think we should do.
I think. If I may clarify your point, the question is that the other organizations, we have 11 organizations whose recommendations have been approved, so that means that the Appropriations Committee can't change them. So the only option, you can change the FC funding, but that's the only way that the activity fee could be adjusted.
True. I mean, politically, what we could potentially do is raise the amount, lower the amount based on what the saying, and then later on, when we're going to debate the entire package, this committee could once again defend a different position as sort of a, you know, well, if you accept our recommendation on slope day, then we were saying in the same breath that you have to change this. Of course, this body has final say on anything that we recommend, but you could take different stances on something like that. I mean, so formally, or parliamentary, I don't give a damn.
Okay, thank you.
Next on my speakers list, I have Carl.
I'm looking for information from representatives in the slope day. So if we approve $3.50, you know, what our Appropriations Committee is recommending, do you know what you would do? Would you say, you know, we're going to charge you, or if so, how much? Do you know that information? Or if you would charge that stream, and the number would be determined? Probably $25. So maybe we could. But you would also still take $3.50?
No,
we
could
only do that. We would just make sure we did not take anything and take it back.
And for reference, the
$25
because we charge alumni $25 and then non-credit is $30, so we would charge graduates $25. And then should ticketing become what is in the package, then we would also open up discussions in our organization of charging university administrators, faculty, staff, and faculty charge from the tax. Of course, volunteers
would
be free, but that's
potentially
the route
that
we would be
able to. I recognize Yevgeny. Well, I wanted to ask the committee to comment a little more about that. This idea that we do want to even feel the committee think about Slope as part of the graduate life. But it does seem like the comments about 350 is an unacceptable number are a little strong from your side. Clearly, this is a big, we're still increasing the fund, and relative to other groups that we do fund, it's a pretty big number. So I was hoping you could kind of comment about your idea of looking at other committees that's trying to work with you, and whether you would kind of change your language or really adjust your priorities in terms of kind of continuing the relationship with us.
Recognize Slope Day to respond. I think Noel was referring to this slide. This is the percentage participation that is taken from the survey committee's data, and then it uses the number 7,005 students, which is total enrollment as of 2010, as a way of calculating roughly the number of students who attended.
For a total for a
I'm not in a position to defend this slide at all. This was what was sent to me by the chair of the survey committee. Feel free to disregard the numbers on this slide. Next on my speakers list, I have Rebecca. So I have 9 minutes left in the meeting. I have six people left on my speakers list, just so you know. Next, Will. Okay. Julian. Julian. There was a question in there for a slope day.
So we thought about this a lot, and while we do believe that $6 would bring those numbers to parity, and there's a question about that, we can kind of do that, find that the allocation for attendees, and then there would be roughly the undergrads would be roughly the same for faculty attendees. But we understand the financial constraints of the GPSA Act and the Christian Committee, and we'd be willing to meet you halfway as well, that it would be $4.
So just to restate that for everybody, $4.50 is the amount Slope Day says they require in order not to ticket graduate students, which means that at $3.50, you will turn down the funding and seek to charge graduate students $25. Just making that clear. Chris, was that a point of information?
Yeah, but more, if I mean, I want to use it as one thing, it's really debate, so I'm not going to keep it.
Next on my list, I have Eric.
I just want to say that obviously our committee came to this decision with a great deal of thought, and I really think it would be imprudent to totally defund us at this amount. I mean, we're all interested in maintaining a relationship, as you've said yourself. And what are you really confident that you would make up the difference by charging us? I mean, given that chances are half.
Obviously, hopefully.
Yes, I recognize
it. It is a risk. We do run the risk of, you know, worst case scenario, no graduate students attend Slope Day, which is a lead to loss. But, you know, every 2 years in the process, it's kind of uncomfortable for us to go in front of the student assembly, who, you know, kind of puts us on the rail and says, why are grad students not paying their fair share? And I think our recommendation and our rationale for the $6 is to try to bring that to the level to a point of problem for grad students and undergrad. And I think it's easy to look at us and say we have a lot of money and we're getting greedy, but that's not really what we're after. We're just trying to make it a more fair allocation for the students who attend.
Next on my list, I have Ed.
This discussion reflects a lot of discussion, but I just want to read something from the Slope Day program for admission statement that I think you all very much agree with, whether it has an practical use in that aspect, but it's part of what we're trying to build with relationships for. Mind you that part of what our activities invite us to say is a seat on the executive board of Slope Day programming board, so we can have a say in things. So their mission statement says that
Slope Day is centered on the Cornell community and a celebration of the past year, working to break down social barriers, build a greater sense of tradition and community, and foster an environment where students, staff, and faculty can come together to one Cornell. This is something that obviously we really agree with. It would be unfortunate if we made the gesture of increasing the relationship to Slope Day that they chose to take us. It would definitely not foster that sense of community. It would be furthermore unfortunate if staff and faculty were taking it. But I think I can speak on behalf of the community that the 350 is a level we feel that reflects the actual values and abilities that the students give. It does our part to say that this is where we feel comfortable being involved in this, having a say in this event, and doing this part of the community. And give us this statement. It's unfortunate we didn't make that statement.
So there are 4 minutes left in our meeting time. This is the same as all the other votes. Of course, a motion to call the previous question is in order, as before. I have four more people on my speakers list, two of whom have spoken before, so I can't recognize them unless somebody else doesn't want to speak before them. Again, to remind you of what we're doing here, it's a yes or no vote on whether to include it as a recommendation, whether to include the recommendation as it stands in the resolution. The resolution is then debatable and amendable, so that number can change. If you vote no today, the Appropriations Committee will think about it for another week. They may well come back and say, no, keep it the same, higher, lower, whatever.
Point of information.
Chris?
Based on, speaking as the chair of the committee, based on the debate we've heard today, we would not know where to go with our deliberations. So we need to either extend this meeting or approve the recommendation, and I'm not using that as a strong-arm tactic. I'm just being really honest here. We'll meet for an hour and 100 beers. I would like our committee to be productive. Point of information.
Question?
That means that rooms that our committee can't look at the body change, and you can amend it as much as you can within the strength of the charge.
Exactly. Unless, of course, again, a no vote also opens the possibility of defunding entirely, which requires two-thirds of the members, which would be 13 people, to vote for that. Just to remind you of the procedure.
No,
next
point
on my...
Point of information.
Yevgeny?
Can you repeat the last comment that we just take that as a body?
So by voting yes and approving the 350, you take the committee's approving over adjusting the numbers of the late point, the body then amended as you see fit across all groups across the entire process.
So we have 2 minutes left, which is about...
We can extend the meeting for 10 minutes.
There's a motion on the floor to extend to 7:10. It's been seconded by Carl. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the meeting is extended until 7:10 p.m. Next on my speakers list, I have Giovanna.
I think I have asked people in my department to emphasize what they think about the goldfish, and I have the same sense as you have here. Some people think it's fun, other people hate it, but I think that those people that think it's fun is fair for them to go to have like that opportunity of going. So what I'm seeing here, like, I know that Cornell Cinema has, like, it's much higher than what we're giving to Slow Day, but Cornell Cinema is all year long, that Slow Day is a single day event. So what I'm thinking is, like, not giving anything is not fair for that people that really like it. But also, like, thinking, like, if we give 350 and making us pay is also not fair. So I think there should be, like a balance, because not giving anything is just making, like, the relations not work. And well, I think it's fair if maybe you charge for not 25, maybe, I don't know, much less than that. So that there's, like, I don't know, like, people that want to go can go, like, it's not as high as $25. But at least get the 350 because it's still money, and I think there are people against it, but those that are in favor of it don't lose the opportunity of going. So maybe if you can consider getting the 350 and maybe increasing the price of the local, and that would be perfect, at least for my people in my department that really like, even if they are minority, I think they should have a chance.
Next on my list, I have. Yes?
I believe that it is hard coded somewhere that if we are either ticketed and we do not give them any money, or we are not ticketed and we do it if we miss this. So it's an
difference of whether our group decides to give them to offer the money and who decides to say no to it. Whether our group decides not to give the money or whether they decide not to take it. Those are the options in that case. So, I mean, I wish that we could work collaboratively like that, but I'm pretty sure that's not a viable option. I'm sorry.
Two over from Mike Walsh. I don't know you. Jennifer. I knew there was a Jennifer here somewhere.
Actually, very similar to what she just said. I just want the voting members to keep in mind that Bill Day is only one event. So with regard to ticketing, essentially we are already purchasing tickets when we pay our connectivity fee because it is only one event. Except the difference is that individuals are not given the choice as to whether or not they wish to purchase a ticket. We're saying that everybody has to pay the fee. So, since it is such a divisive issue, people either really like it or they really don't, I think that's something that the voting members should keep in mind. And I guess in general, I'm speaking for it. Certainly not increasing it, either approving the recommended 350 or cap level.
Thank you. Marquise keeps whispering to me. I have four people next on my list, but they've all spoken before. So I have to give priority now to people who haven't yet spoken. So if that means you want to speak, Marquise?
It does.
Okay.
So I think that we've discussed this ad nauseum. This committee has done the due diligence. They recommended 350. I think we need to move forward on up or down vote. People have already expressed their opinions one way or another. I don't think people's opinions are going to change too much. I think that we should fund them at 350, although my personal opinion is I think the parity argument is convincing, but I think we need to fund them at 350 because we are going to show a good faith effort, and then it's in their ballpark if they're going to decide to exclude graduate students. I don't think that it's this body's decision to decide to exclude the roughly 1,200 graduate students that decided to go last year. So with that, I move to call a question.
So Marquise has moved the previous question. Is there a second? Seconded by Eric. Those in favor of calling the previous question, this requires 2/3 or 12 people to vote in favor. Raise your placard. I'm not doing it by unanimous consent this time. I want to make sure I get this right because we're ending debate. So please raise your placards. This is whether or not you want to vote, not whether we're accepting the recommendation. Raise your placard if you want to end debate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Raise your placard now if you want to continue debating.
So I have to make a point of information, but my previous talking was a point of information. So does that count actually in formal debate as we're talking?
We're kind of in the middle of a vote right now. If you want to talk, then you should vote against this motion. If you want to keep debate going, those who want to keep debate going, those who are voting against the motion to call the previous question, please raise your placards. 1, 2, 3. 12 is more than 2/3 of 3, so that ends debate. Which means that we move now to the question. The question is to include the recommendation, $3.50, in the resolution, which, as I've said before, is debatable and amendable, so we can continue this discussion next week and actually be able to offer amendments on changing the amount. But that's to lay it out. So now it is a vote on accepting or not the recommendation. This is a simple majority vote and requires 10 members to vote in favor. If you are in favor of including the recommendation in the resolution, please raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Those opposed? 1. With a vote of 14-1. The ayes have it, the motion is adopted, which means that the recommendation, $3.50, is incorporated into the resolution, which we'll continue discussion on next week. Debatable, amendable, just like any other resolution. With that, we conclude discussion on the activity fee. Hold on. We conclude discussion on the activity fee. We have 5 minutes left in the meeting for open forum, or the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there anybody who wishes to speak in open forum? Jennifer?
I just point out that the new
So noted. Other comments in open forums? Will?
Has there been a spot for the representative signing?
There is one, yeah. It came late. That's right.
Other comments in open forum, or the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn? Moved by Steve. Is there a second? Seconded by Nicole. Is there any opposition? No. The meeting is adjourned at 7:05.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.